Good morning, everyone. It is Sunday, October 4th, 2015. Welcome to our roundtable. The subject today is unreality, and we will start with a few things that Florence had wanted to mention. Florence?
Oh, I was thinking of this forum, but that is really done good this week. It started off very slow, and it's much better towards the end of the week. The other thing I was thinking is that I know that first when I was studying Christian Science and I would go to a lecture or something without really thinking about what it was for, like for the whole world, to bless the world, I would go with not the right kind of thought. And at Plainfield here, I know that when you come to the service and come to bless, you know, Mrs. Eddy says we are to pray for the congregation throughout the service. And I guess in our meetings too, in the Wednesday meetings, if we come to bless, then we go away fulfilled. I'm talking about how I feel, and I'm sure all those who come with a certain mindset also feel. And we have to come to give in order to gain. Been talked about many times, but I just thought I would mention it again. The other thing is going forward. I think, Mary, you touched on it yesterday, going forward with the truth. Because I know that many times the error will just ring so loud that the tendency is to go looking for articles about what the problem is. And like we said, mentioned last week, this is all error's way of keeping us in the error and not, you know, leaving it behind. The objective to seek God, to know more about Him, to really trust Him, is what brings the confidence for the realization that right now are we complete and whole. Was there anything else? I don't remember if there was anything else I was going to say.
Well, we covered it a bit last night, but the idea of, on our watch, the idea of praying for our periodicals.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, during this last meeting, Jim mentioned something about the resistance he was feeling when he was doing the newsletter. And it's the same thing happens here. You know, sometimes when I'm putting the forum highlights together, somehow it just is not coming together. And I think we had neglected not to include it in our watches. And I just wanted to bring it up that is just as a great part of our mission as anything else. So, we've added them to the watches now so that they too will be taken, you know, any misconceptions or any errors about them can be handled during our watches, both the unity ones as well as the individual ones.
Thank you. Yeah, that's a very important part of our outreach. So we need to pray for them. Lillian always sends the message out when they're in the mail to be praying for anyone who would like that message, that we're praying that they arrive in a timely manner and that they will bless those who receive them. But it is important to be working. There's no opposition to them. There's no opposition to the proofing, to the publishing, printing, the writing. We have an abundance of articles. And we thank you all, because every time you testify or write on the forum or other things, you're giving, at times, something that we can use in our periodicals.
May I say something, please, about our watches?
Sure.
I see in all over the United States, actually, and I'm thinking about God in schools and not being allowed to have a Bible in the school, you know, and just one person in the whole city seems to send this message and get reaction. I think we ought to have a better reaction.
Thank you. We are going to take that up soon. Thank you, Jean. Yes.
Excuse me, I called in a little bit late. Could I be muted, please?
Certainly. Yeah, we've talked about it here in Plainfield. We never had these problems growing up in the school system, but I know when I grew up in my elementary school and later on, we prayed. We had morning exercises. We prayed from the Bible. We would read Psalms. God was in the schools. But this is the problem. So we will be talking about that in a moment. Thank you, Jean.
Okay, good.
I think this is all part of what Florence was talking about earlier. When we watch to protect the work that people do in this church, whether it's periodicals, whether it's reading, whatever it is, we're watching against the impersonal attack on the Christ message. This is an impersonal, worldwide attack on the Christ message. It is the human mind that opposes the Christ message, whether it's in schools or in our church or wherever. And this is what we're here to deal with. The impersonal attack. It's not person, it's not place, it's not thing. But anybody who has stepped up to do something useful in this church has felt this resistance. And it's the impersonal resistance to the Christ message. And it should be it should be handled in every watch that we do.
It shows, it's actually a good sign when you are feeling this opposition. I mean, some of you told me being awake at night, other things, feeling, you know, somewhat under an attack. That means you are working. What is that statement about you don't shoot dead men or something like that? Well,
if you're not doing anything useful for God, the devil will leave you alone.
Yeah. The only way you start, you know, that you're going to...
Right. I mean, because the devil knows that mortal mind knows one thing, it knows that it doesn't know anything, that it's destined for destruction. And anything that voices the Christ message is a threat to error. So this is just error, erroneous belief that is resisting the Christ message.
And then on the other hand, some way it can attack you a different way, and this goes back to what Florence originally said. Occasionally, you know, people will say they're having trouble staying awake during a service or something like that. No one in Plainfield, you would get punched in the ribs. Well, anyway, if that's the case, then it goes back to what Florence has said. Are you just plonking yourself down in your easy chair, listening, without any feeling of giving? You should never feel that way. You should be in a giving mode, whether you say anything or not. And if you're in that giving mode, you could not possibly go to sleep. You just couldn't. You're just too, I hate to use the word wired, but in a way that's true. You know darn well the first and second readers aren't going to sleep. And it shouldn't be left up to them or the readers Wednesday that we just plunk down and have a nice listening time. And this is why the encouragement to give, to testify, certainly to be working throughout the service. And whether you say anything or not, if you're working and if you're always ready to give, you will be awake and alert. And this idea of sleeping is impossible. And as we were taught here, if you feel like sleeping, then you better darn well handle it for everybody else.
And really, whatever problem you think you came with, you will leave relieved of it. I've felt that, and I know others who have felt that.
Yes, exactly.
And, you know, if we keep our testimonies fairly short, there's room for many more. We used to have 20 to 30 years ago. Now we're doing well. We get 15 or 16. But you will feel, it used to be more painful to me not to give a testimony. I used to think it was painful to give a testimony. It was so hard, my heart would be beating, I was scared to death, I didn't know what to say. So then I got past that one, and then the times when I didn't get up and I had something to say, I would leave the service not feeling right, because I had failed to give when I had been given, when I had something to give. And I felt badly. It's a form of disobedience to God. And we all should have something to give. And it doesn't have to be long or complicated. Better it be not long and complicated. So today, as we were leaving, Gary looked at me and said, "Well, Mary, what should I bring? Science and health, my miscellaneous writings, my lesson, what are we going to do?" So today I am turning to First Edition. And those of you who have it, who can creep out and get it, please do. Those of us here maybe can't. Anyway, the reason I'm doing this goes back to what Jean said. Another atrocity, another violent act in our schools. These things are happening randomly. Schools, work, malls, movie theaters.
Military bases.
Anywhere, you know, you think you're in some nice, quiet little community where everything is safe. Well, we know that the only security is in God. So, Mrs. Eddy says some very important things in First Edition. She also says it in Science and Health, but it's a little more graphic and scary in First Edition. And, you know, she said in order to do a good watch, you must feel the danger. So, if you have your book, I'm starting on 107. In an age of sin and sensuality, hastening to greater development of power, is fearful to consider the influence of belief without more honesty and understanding to steer clear of the fearful shoals on this dangerous and unexplored coast. The peril of Salem witchcraft even is not past until that era be met by the understanding and destroyed. Not the gallows, but explanation destroys error. So what does that mean?
I think he's talking about the unreality of error, and that it is really beliefs of all of them are false beliefs that need to be understood as nothing. The disguises that they take will be stripped off, as he says, and when we understand that they are really nothing, then we have a handle on it.
Thank you.
Yeah, you don't destroy an error by hanging a person. You destroy an error by giving that person an understanding.
That was touched on in our watch message on Thursday. You know, we can't blow up aggression and greed and crime.
The thing that's needed is scientific consciousness, a knowledge of God. That's the one and only attraction anyway. Not an appeal to, maybe I can manipulate and control someone and get away with it, and then retaliating with bad violence when somebody else doesn't like it. It doesn't work. One power in this world, will we be afraid of that power?
That's right, that power we are not afraid of. Science must be allowed to explain this phenomenon of belief in contradistinction to that of truth and intelligence controlling man. An evil and artful mind is all the Satan there is, and this is the fallen angel or abused capacity. Such a mind, learning its control over other minds, will take the reins into its teeth, and truth alone must take them out and guide it. What does that mean?
Hmm.
So it's like a horse running away with the reins in his mouth, and you not being able to stop it?
Yes. So what stops it?
The knowledge that there is no evil, that God is the only one in charge.
Yeah, and standing firm and saying no to the error.
Right.
Thus far and no farther.
And what about an evil and an artful mind is all that Satan there is? That's very important.
Because it's crafty.
Yes. And that is in science and health. Crafty. It gets you to believe its lies. It will take you down a wrong path. Now, the reason I'm bringing this out, because these things have been happening in our country and just a little bit elsewhere, but mainly in our country. You know, everyone's looking for the answers in effect in the gun control and you know, more guards in the school or whatever.
More guns.
Yeah, more guns. More drugs. Drug up more unhappy people. More psychology. This is all effect, isn't it? Is this going to heal anything? No. And these are the false gods that we turn to instead of the one God.
And when we turn to the false gods and implement more and more rules, things get worse instead of better. And why? Because we're forgetting the one God. That's why.
Yeah. You know, I'm becoming confused as well.
Yes.
What's the answer? Instead of knowing there's one answer to everything, there's all kinds of suggestions of what will help and heal. And that's confusing.
It's confusing. And that's why we have to be careful of how much we take in on the media. Because very often you're listening to someone who is artful and crafty. They can be telling you all kinds of lies. And it sounds so true and good, and you could go down that path if you're not alert and really understanding and have your spiritual sense in operation. So we touch on this lightly when you look at the news. Don't get mesmerized by it. If you're mesmerized by it, if you fear it, if you're obsessed with it, if you're always looking for whatever conspiracy theories or whatever on your computer, then you're getting mesmerized. Stop it.
Or even upset by it. I mean, if you're
even upset by it,
it just takes you in.
It does. And it also, it would divide our country because all people believe so strongly this and then they believe so strongly that and this one's wrong and this one's right. And only God is right. We have to get back to that. And that's why on the roundtable, really, please do not mention names or political people. We really try to stay away from that unless it has some biblical base to it. This isn't a platform for politics.
Because politics is not the answer.
Not the answer.
It's effect. It's not cause.
Just giving names is personal. It is. It would personalize an error. And we're working to not to do that. Absolutely not. That's personal sense. So she goes on. As of old, this mind works its spell in some manner on all it would harm. Because the barriers against evil influences from such a source are not understood by the world in general, and the door is not readily closed against them. What does that mean?
The world doesn't understand what we understand.
You can fool some of the people all of the time, and you can fool all of the people some of the time.
Yeah. Like what we were saying with our watches about feeling the danger. If you're so asleep with things that you claim you don't understand, that you don't feel the danger, then you don't shut the door right away.
Thank you. Thank you. That's really what I was looking for. You know, if your mind is vapid, there's no such mind, but in belief, empty, you know,
your consciousness.
Yes. You can be used. McNeil Young says, putty in the hands of schemers. Why do these people, any of them, get a thought to kill others or kill a Christian or kill a Muslim or whoever, kill somebody? Where in the world does that come from? What I am implying to you and what Mrs. Eddy is saying is that this is malicious animal magnetism directed to those who are not doing exactly what Bruce said, guarding your mentality. This is, my friends, what needs to be handled. This is the crux and the root of it. And we cannot be so naive as to think that there are not malicious minds that would try to do this. And when we have a society that has no God in it, and our children or anyone are just open to these malicious suggestions, then it is up to us to destroy this and to protect the innocent. You know, this...
That is what results in dictatorships.
Yes.
That is what results in nations having kings.
Tyranny.
And that results in tyranny. This is what the children of Israel got to when they went to Samuel and said, "Give us a king." They had lost their relationship with God. This is what is happening in our country. As a nation, we are losing our relationship with God, and we're going down the road of personality first and then tyranny.
But overall, the right understanding of God is not there. I mean, it's like this physical thing of the Christ is still perpetuated, oh, Jesus, this and that. So there's a wrong understanding of God, I think, which leads it all down the wrong path. And I think Mrs. Eddy really, from the textbook, brings to light what the real understanding that will help people through her book, Science and Health.
Yes.
Exactly.
And even that is, people are saying, you can't read it and you don't understand it.
And
this is the malicious animal magnetism that is directed. And this is what we are undoing. You know,
I think organized religion is turning the younger generation off pretty much from any kind of church going.
That's true. And perhaps rightly so.
Yeah, but I mean, if church going really is telling you you're not really gaining the right understanding of God through that, then, you know, like, it's prosperity, it's all about materialism, more of it and more of it and so on, then what is the point? Maybe they should not be going.
That's true. You can't blame them.
Hey, it's better that they're not going and that they're recognizing this.
That's true.
I have young people that I've heard who say, well, I mean, look at all the mean things that Christians have done in the past, but also, you know, all the mean things that all these religions do.
No, I know. That's partly the reason for atheism, because all the wars seem to be about religion. That's why we have to...
Like the Middle East, it's just it's like the melting pot of all the great religions.
Right. And that's why we don't call Christian Science a religion.
No, not a religion.
You know, something...
Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, something I've thought about for actually several years, it's about personal sense and having nothing to do with Christian Science. But I remember when I was little, sometimes I'd be at somewhere, I don't know where, school or someplace, and someone would say some prayer or something, and... It was not really specific to the human situation, you know, I'm just a kid, you know, but just seem to be about God, okay? And I never quite understood it. Why don't they just come out and say it, you know? and, you know, I noticed that what I was puzzling over as a kid, I don't hear too much today. You know, so much if you read the news, there's some Christian leader, and they get very specific about this, and they're setting up sides. I'm just thinking about how you're talking about how we should do our watches and our praying, you know. And I wonder if, you know, this country really did have leaders who sort of understood the personal sense, and that our Christian leaders seem to have lost sight of that.
Yes. Well, I think evil is constantly on the heels of truth. And you know, we need to know that, because we got to stand for truth, and if we don't, we lose it. And this is just it's not our country. It's the world over.
Hey, sorry.
Yeah, I was reading something about somebody who was a Holocaust survivor, and he talked about atheist beliefs, and he said his father thought it took too much energy to pray to God. It was when his father ended up in a concentration camp, but that's all he had to do to live. He survived, and then he went back to his ridiculous, you know, not believing in God. We have to see that we believe in God because we are God's ideas, and not the personal sense tells us it's a way of getting out of a problem.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Right.
And so I'm going to interject here something, and I've told some of you this story, but it pertains. It's a movie that Parsons Bob in Colorado sent me called The Amazing Love. It's a Christian, it's aimed for teenagers, but it's a story of Hosea in the Bible. And Hosea was the prophet, a minor prophet, they called him, of the northern kingdom. And he was told by God to marry a harlot named Gomer, which he did. And this harlot remained unfaithful to him. She was taken over by the desire to get more wealth, and she could sell her body and get things she wanted. And, of course, he was deeply devastated by that. And anyway, she ended up with someone who was quite horrible to her and beaten, and she was sold into slavery. And through all that, Hosea came back, and with just about all the silver he had, he bought her back. And the story makes the point, it likens it to God's love for us, this unconditional love, the unconditional love for the children of Israel, no matter what they did. He loved them, and eventually, after being beaten up and sold into slavery, they would come back to him. But why do we always have to leave when things get better? And there was an interesting point also in this movie in which the prophet Hosea was going out warning them that they had to wake up. At that time, they were worshiping false gods, but things seemed to be going okay. And he would say, you know, you've got to wake up. And they would say, don't give us all this doom and gloom. I do not want to hear this. We do not want to hear it. Certainly his wife didn't want to hear it. And one of them said, Hosea, we're doing fine. These gods of ours are treating us just really well. You know, we don't have any big problems. We're all pretty happy here. Well, kaboom to that. So this is my point in a lot of what you all are saying. When we have these false gods, when we look to Materia Medica, when we look to everything but God, we are on a pathway to destruction. It will come. Doesn't mean God's deserted us, but we've deserted God. And this is what we must remember more so in times of prosperity than in times of difficulty.
And that's our challenge today, because this nation today has more material prosperity for more people than any nation in the history of the world has ever had. Now, you can say that, what a great blessing, or you can say, what a great warning, and what a dangerous position to be in if we don't give all the credit to God.
And so much of this came after Mrs. Eddy and her discovery of science, what it's done in so many ways to elevate the race, in that we are not in such dire straits as she was, you know, losing everyone she loved. We have come very far in all of these things. It's been the leavening of truth. And too much that has been given, what?
Much is required.
Yes. And our country being based and founded on God, I think it's all the more atrocious that we've left him. I think that's why, I mean, some people ask, well, why America? Why are we having all these troubles? Well, I think that has something to do with it. Okay, I'm going to continue. To this end, metaphysics are important. Study mind more and matter less. For we must find refuge in soul to escape the era of the latter days, and mediumship and mesmerism, more than all else, contribute to a terrible future development of discord. What does that mean? Study mind instead of matter. This is certainly what we're doing in these classes. Give your thought to the truth so you are not mesmerized by all of this. Demesmerize yourself.
Get to the cause of things. Matter is effect in every case. Studying matter doesn't help you understand anything about what causes anything to happen.
So don't waste your time on it when you have valuable time to spend on the truth. You know, Elizabeth said to me recently, she's really studying now science and health. She's been a lifelong scientist and recognized she doesn't really know it. We should be studying. It's a textbook to study, not to just randomly
take off the shelf when you need a pill.
Yeah.
So I think our watch and our lesson this week are really helpful in doing this, because our watch says to talks about touching lightly on error. And if you think of the Bible story in our lesson sermon, I mean, the Israelites, anybody would be absolutely fearful. You're walking into a desert and being chased by an army. And if you thought a lot about the desert and the army chasing after you, and that's all you thought about, you know, over and over and over and over, I mean, why wouldn't you be fearful?
Exactly. Thank you. Exactly.
I'm focusing on the power of God in the watches. I mean, making that the overwhelming meaning in the watches is very important. It also really helps those who do the watches.
It does. That's why you do it.
That's why the sense of his power from doing the watches.
Thank you. And that's why all of these things, you get where you feel like it's not some duty that you've got to force yourself to do. It's something you look forward to doing.
Really have to.
Yes, yes.
I think it's really also, if you're doing the watches and doing it for the whole world like we're doing, it's really praying to God, like Elisha, open their eyes that they may see. Because people don't, if you don't understand what all this truth is that Mrs. Eddy has given to the world, then you really are being led the wrong way. So,
thank you. And these sentences say, too, we're always dealing with mesmerism. You know, what is that story, Mrs. Eddy? Someone had healed, someone had got hit by a train or something. And
there was a practitioner who went past and saw a little boy who had been hit by a train. And she picked him up and put him in her car to drive him home. And he was fine. He recovered. And Mrs. Eddy asked her, what did you do? And she said, I just knew that I couldn't be mesmerized.
And Mrs. Eddy said, that is all you ever have to do. This is the crux. It's a mesmerism. And maybe more and more people are becoming mesmerized, just as Tom says, because all of these stupefying illusions that are paraded in front of our faces constantly. But the way you defang it and make it lose its power is to break the mesmerism. And this is what a watch is, and this is what Mrs. Eddy said she did for 40 years, and now our students are going to have to do. First, of course, always you demesmerize yourself, and then you know this truth is for everyone. Everyone has the mind of Christ. They cannot be mesmerized by these illusions. I don't care how long they've gone on. This is what this first edition and Science and Health is saying, our other edition, our current edition. And this is how you rend it of any seeming power. And that's why our watches are so important, and that's how you work, to know you're not mesmerized by it. And if you know that, then you can be mesmerized for everyone else. But always start with yourself. By the time you're done with the watch, whatever we're handling should be a big fat nothing. And, you know, sometimes on our watches we are can be general. You know, sometimes we've been told, well, we should be more specific. Well, we have to be careful in being too specific. We're not taking political sides. We're not saying, well, these are the bad guys and we're the good guys. We have to be careful with that. We present you with things, and then you, like a dog, take your bone and chew it and digest it and work with it. And if things are coming to you that maybe aren't on the watch, well, fine. You work the way God directs you to work.
But get to the cause being mesmerism. Evil is neither person, place, nor thing. Always mesmerism.
We paint too graphic a picture of what needs to be handled. Oh, is it handling us or are we handling it? That's the thing.
Right. Yeah, sometimes it makes it more big and more real. Yes.
And we do have a page on the website if anyone has an independent watch that they come up with.
Yeah, there's something you found. And, you know, on our website, because people will sometimes ask newer ones, well, how do you do a watch? We have a whole tab on watching. And a lot, like, for instance, even maybe this roundtable will be put on, but there's a lot on there if you feel you don't know. Plus, just get yourself watches, prayers, and arguments.
But the other thing to remember is it's not a formula. There's not like a fixed set of rules. You do this, one, two, three, down the line. One rule, inspiration.
Absolutely.
You and your maker.
Absolutely. And our watch messages are just, I call them springboards to get you started. Maybe they've given you some fresh ideas you haven't thought about before, but whatever, it's between you and your maker. Nothing, no formulas, ever. Okay, to go on. We should strongly insist on the majesty of truth and its control over error, and begin today denying right or reality to aught but God and the true idea, saying, depart from me, all ye that work iniquity, and thus break up the reign of error, and let the world of harmony and truth reappear.
So, it just goes to show, we can't make it right. We can let the reality appear by breaking up what's wrong.
Thank you. Yes. And that was good. I think Linda on the forum, you know, and talking about Moses and all the wonderful things he did, but she brought it around to make sure we all know it wasn't Moses, it was God. Moses was listening to God, of course. But it is always God that does this work. Linda, you want to speak to that? You referred to a watching point, too.
I have my watching point. Oops.
Go ahead.
You want me to read that?
Okay. Yeah, whatever you feel it would apply.
Well, I can leave it up to people to go see the watch, because it's a long watch. They can look it up if they haven't. I think Tom spoke to that. And
yeah.
I didn't really have much to say, but it occurred to me that Moses did not part the sea. It's very easy to think, because you are there, and this power seems to work through you, that you're doing something. It was really, for me, I realized that I have to think more carefully about where I think this power is coming from. And, you know, and I loved what all the things that Heidi said about Moses.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this was one of the problems that the Israelites had at the time. They saw Moses parting the sea.
Yes, and they didn't see it as God, so that's why they were, and, you know, 2 minutes later, we're back to their whining and moaning and complaining. And they saw it personally. It's not personal.
And he tells them that they were complaining against God, not against him.
Yes.
You know, that's why I thought, like I said yesterday at the Bible study, for years I didn't understand what they did after they crossed it. It just seemed like they were just celebrating, like they won the lottery almost, you know?
Right.
And maybe they should have just been humble and quiet.
Yeah.
Would
have
been
grateful.
Much better.
Good point.
Grateful.
That was what Sharon was said yesterday. We had a wonderful Bible study. Listen to it if you weren't there. But she talked about being euphoric, and that euphoric is just when the devil will have a heyday with you.
We even have a hymn about that, don't we?
Yes.
Tear or triumph, harm.
Now, I'm going to 123 in First Edition to further scare you. In coming years, the person or mind that hates his neighbor will have no need to traverse his fields to destroy his flocks and herds and spoil his vines, or to enter his house to demoralize his household. For the evil mind will do this through mesmerism, and not in propria persona, be seen committing the deed. What does that mean?
Thought and mental. They wouldn't be doing it through thought.
Yes. And this is why, and if you think, you know, years ago Mrs. Evans used to talk about these elf waves, which is directed mental malpractice. We've heard of, in advertising, the subliminal messages. You need this. We talked about this a few weeks ago. You should buy this. You've got to have this. There are these messages out there. That's why you have to keep yourself stayed on God, that you're not mesmerized by it, that you don't think evil is all-powerful, that you don't think our country's just going to the dogs. You stay demesmerized. Don't deal with the effects. Because if it gets you in any way to be mesmerized, it's got you.
There are, in addition, there are a lot of other avenues that evil minds can enter your house. Call you on the phone. They can go through your television. Reach you through the internet if you're logged on.
Or they could plant the seed of a bad feeling in you and manipulate their intentions through your own actions. Guard your mentality.
If you get mesmerized, you're part of the problem instead of the solution. You know, I go back to some of these movies we see. You know, you've seen movies, aliens come, or all these mesmerized people marching around the... What is it, the something about the body snatchers? You know, that's a great one, how people get mesmerized. And others, how hypnotism works. If you've never seen the Manchurian Candidate, things that are not going on seem to be going on because you're mesmerized. The other one that I love, The Shadow with Alec Baldwin. All of these are examples of mesmerism. Totally looks real. You totally think it's happening, but it's not. This is why you start daily with God is mine, God is my mind, God is the only pure and perfect mind. Okay, unless this terrible hour be met and restrained by science, mesmerism, that scourge of man, will leave nothing sacred when the mind begins to act under its direction of conscious power. Sensuous man makes war to the death on his enemies, but the spiritual pours blessings on them unseen and unacknowledged, like the chamomile that crushed yields the sweetest odor. Spiritual minds emit an atmosphere of truth that blesses their enemies and destroys error while it is persecuting them. I won't go on, but But this is a wake-up call as to how to deal with this era, not to be afraid of it or be scared of it, but to meet it head-on with this science. And I don't know, is there any other truth that explains it the way Mrs. Eddy does?
No.
Well, there's only one truth, and we're all striving to learn that truth. Mrs. Eddy has explained it better than anybody else so far.
Right.
Well, and it's a complete revelation. She's explained it all. And
yeah, straight from the source.
Yes.
Exactly.
From
God. Truth is truth.
Yes. And so, as we go on now to have our service, you realize this is the Word of God, the truth. It's piercing through mesmeric thought. And people open their eyes that they may see it, not be mesmerized by thinking they can't understand it or don't want to hear it or anything else. These are the beliefs that we handle. I think it was in first edition when I was reading it. You know, she says the gates of hell, that's material beliefs. It's your beliefs that hold you in bondage. So I am bringing this out because this is the correct way to be dealing with what's going on in our country. It would be wonderful if we could stop it and preserve the innocent. I don't know why we can't. The only reason we couldn't would be as if people won't heed the warning and they have to learn lessons, as Hosea, in the time of Hosea. But with what we know now and with the fact we have science and health, I think that we can change the course of history. If we do this work, not half-heartedly, but with all our hearts, minds, souls, desire, what better work is there to do? Can anyone think of anything?
No.
Not one.
Wouldn't you say this is a lot more satisfying than spending a week in Disneyland? Not that I
objected. I never have the desire to go to
Disneyland. No, I haven't either, and maybe those do, but I'm just saying this work is very rewarding and wonderful. It's not drudgery. It is wonderful work and brings great joy and great peace. So, go ahead.
I think we were the remnant. We are the remnant of Christian Science, the Plainfield Church, and I believe that God has given you power to fight this. I believe that.
Well, and it's up to each one of us to do the work that God has given us to do. And if we do the work correctly, it will bless the world.
Demesmerize the world. We can bring in the millennium and see what John saw, the New Jerusalem. It's here and now. It's just terribly out of focus at the moment. So we will get it into focus. And if we each one do it individually, it will be collectively as well. And our purpose is in the spiritualization of all mankind. Mrs. Eddy states that. Elevation of the race. It isn't in building churches or in all this form and circumstance. It is in this mental work. And, you know, there is no death. This work goes on. Work goes on.
The work of eternity.
Yes, thank you. The work of eternity. So we are at our closing time, I think. So take these truths, let it change your life, let it change your work, and realize the seriousness of what we have to do, and we must approach it on our knees with great humility. And this is the lesson on unreality.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.